Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, chapter 8, the great book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher. And certainly the fact that we have two bodies is very important in this particular dispensation of time. You have a spiritual body, which you might say is your real body, and you have these flesh bodies. And Ecclesiastes is written to the man that walks under the sun, telling you how to find solace and peace of mind, how to control the flesh body and allow the spirit body to be yourself, for it is your soul and yourself. So that's what it's about, and it makes it difficult for some to understand. But again, you got to realize it was written to the man that walks under the sun. That's us in the flesh. Chapter 8, verse 1, and it reads, "Who is as the wise man?" Question. "And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed." In other words, his face will shine. It won't be gloomy. And the harshness of his face will go away when he can interpret with understanding the very word of God. That is fantastic. But there's one thing you want to always remember. When a wise man knoweth the interpretation, where does wisdom come from? That's what you never want to forget. The beginning of wisdom is the knowledge and loving Almighty God. If you love Him, you love His Word. And from His Word comes wisdom. But the harshness goes away. And the gloomy part of a face will leave. And it will shine as a new morning. And enjoying the very word of God. Verse 2. "I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God," and so it is, that you must regard God's oath, and you must keep the king's commandment. If that king or government, well, let's use the term government, if the government guarantees your right and freedoms to teach God's word, that allows you to broadcast as we do, then that's fantastic that a government does that. That government must guarantee you that right, because we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But naturally, when take advantage of the all the things that God makes possible for us, if you are wise. How do you lose wisdom? You leave God out of the equation of your life. Don't ever do that. Verse 3. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Don't depart from God and push off into rebellion. Don't push off from the constitution of your nation and go out in rebellion. You know, it is your caretaker for that moment, as long as it isn't something that interferes with the word of God. Verse 4. "Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?" Well, naturally, it wouldn't be a very healthy thing to do, even for an earthly king. But don't you ever forget who our true king is. Our true king is the Lord God Almighty. And it is he that, and his word is final. He is the supreme judge. And with his word being final, you better realize there's power in His wisdom and in His way, in both the spiritual and our little nation. Verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And certainly that a wise man's heart discerneth what? He knows there's a time and a place for everything. And there is a time for judgment. He knows who the true judge is. You know, many people, for example, in this nation, and as much as we're speaking of nations, would believe that the Supreme Court is the high court of this land. It isn't. Almighty God is. That is why even if you pull a coin from your pocket, in God we trust. Because He is that judge. And He has the final judgment. Keepeth the commandment, shall feel no evil thing. It'll keep you out of trouble. If you obey God's commandments, it will keep you out of trouble. Does that mean we're perfect? No, we won't be perfect. We all slip up at times. But it does give you that God in the equation of your life whereby He can guide you and direct you. See, wisdom comes from Him. And when you bring Him into the equation of your life, you are a wise person. It is important that you be able to discern time. That's to know when it's time for this, when it's time for that, and when it's time for judgment. And keep those things in their priorities. Verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. It's evil. The misery of a man is evil upon him. And certainly, if you do not discern time and judgment, it's something that is so very important in your life. There is, we're talking here, and in the next chapter, we'll be talking about the time to leave this earth age and what happens to the flesh and where the final judgment comes into being and how we also, if you are a wise person, you know that our Father has a book of life and your record is in that book, whether you like it or not, it's there. Good, bad, or ugly. That's why repentance is so very important, to erase that is bad and keep the good in that book of life. That's what you're judged by, to tell whether you go to this side of the gulf or the other, as it is written in Luke 16. Verse 7. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? That's a question you should ponder long and hard. And it is so simple that even a child should be able to answer it. Who knoweth, for he knoweth not which shall be? Of course you don't. But he did send you the word to be able to understand. For who can tell him? I hope you know. I hope you know who it is that if you will ask him, If you will pick the time and the place that is appropriate, approach him and ask for his direction, his wisdom, his understanding. He's the one that can tell you what shall be. It's called prophecy from the living word of God. You might say, well, how accurate is that? 100%. When it is translated properly, God never, His plan always works out exactly as He states it will. Example, Christ's words on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's quoting Psalms 22, written 1,000 years before the fact, to let you as a Christian know God's word always comes to pass as He states it will. That's why if you leave the true King's commandment out of your life, and you cannot discern time and judgment when it is time and who is the judge, you're in a heap of hurt, friend, because that day is coming. You know, Christ is returning. He's not coming back this time as a babe to be crucified. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule with a rod of iron. And that he shall. It's not going to be real good for some people that have not listened to the commandment of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath the power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Let's do a little work on this. The word Spirit is in lowercase, and it simply is the Hebrew word ruach, and it means wind. Okay? So let's read it accordingly. There is no man that hath power over the wind to retain the wind. In other words, if it's blowing from the north, you can't say, go back and blow to the south. You can't control it. And any more than neither hath he power in the day of death. When you die, you die. And there is no discharge in that war. In other words, there's no getting out of it. There's no copying out of it. There's no changing it. A discharge means you're excused from it. No, you're not going to be excused from it. That is one of the one things that we all must face at one time or the other. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. You can be very evil, but when it comes time to die, you're going to die. Just as sure as you cannot control the wind. You can't control that hour, that time, and that judgment. Verse 9. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. It can happen that way. He can be a scoundrel, there can be a ruler that has great compassion, and someone takes advantage of that. It happens. That is life, and when you walk under the sun, meaning when you have people in flesh bodies, lots of things can happen. Verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. They put him in a box, put him up in front of the holy place, the church, and preach him a funeral about just the good stuff he's done. And you forget about the rest. And naturally, this is also vanity. It's emptiness. Why? Because man is not the judge. If you have proper discernment for judgment, you know who's going to judge him. Our Heavenly Father. And it doesn't matter how many nice things that some preacher might make up or whatever bad he might leave out. God's not going to leave any of it out. If it hasn't been repented for, he will pay. And wickedness, he could own every scoundrel in the world to try to save his life. It's not going to happen. He's gone. He's out of here. He's in the box. And certainly, it is time then that our Father takes over. He does the judging. And certainly, anytime man thinks he can smooth things over, it's vanity, all right. I mean, that's emptiness. Verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If you extend judgment to the point, let's say there's a murderer And it takes 20 years to have a decision with all the appeals and everything else is all gone. 20 years down the road, and most would have forgotten, and paying for the sin is not obvious where others will see, and these things will cease to happen among you. You need speedy justice. And therefore others will see. And as it is written in Numbers 35, others will see and these things will cease to happen among you. So you cannot put off a sentence. Man may put it off. As a matter of fact, there may be some that will even get away with murder on earth, but not with our Father. You're going to pay because He knows. And that's where true judgment begins, not here on earth, but judgment begins with our Father. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, that love Him, which fear or love Him before Him, and so it is. Why? Because loving God is what brings wisdom. And that goes back to the first verse. Who is a wise man? One that adheres to, stays with our Father's Word, enjoys our Father's Word, and becomes a part of that Word. It becomes a part of your life. And when you see the courts, and you see the delays in sentences being handed out, there's nothing new about that. This was written many, many years ago. And it still comes to pass exactly as it's written. Sentences are delayed, delayed, delayed. And the price of a crime is not paid for. Therefore, that brings on more crime. When a stop could be put to it with discipline and order by the commandment of our Heavenly Father. Verse 13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. How is it that his life will be like a shadow? You want to think about that a moment. When you wake up in the morning and you walk out, you cast a long shadow to the west, with the sun coming up in the east. About noontime, your shadow's considerably smaller. And before sunset, you cast a long shadow to the east. But when it becomes darkness, you have no shadow at all. And for the wicked one that doesn't love God, he has no life at all. In other words, we're talking about spiritual death here now. In other words, God wipes him out of existence. So, does it pay to be wicked? Well, it's according to whether you want to cast a shadow or not. Because the eternal life is coming around where we cast shadows forever. Or your life can be that shadow that at dark time, it's gone. Never to be reclaimed again. That's a choice one must make as they walk under the sun. Because it is as you walk under the sun that determines what that sentence will be for you. What kind of shadow you cast in your life. Verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Sometimes in this earth, then the wicked, it will seem like they get ahead. Don't worry, they don't. This is one of the worst perceptions a Christian could ever have, is to kid yourself to listen to Satan's evil spirit enough that you think the wicked get ahead. There's not going to cast any shadow. Their penalty is gone. They're out of here, never to walk the earth again. So don't you ever think that the wicked get ahead. They're dead people walking unless they make a change. And certainly it could seem that a righteous man is affected by that, but yet at the same time, that righteous man has peace of mind. Why? Because he hears the king's commandment. He listens to it. He savors it. He lives it as best he can, or she can. And certainly that makes the difference. You know, I like that verse of the shadow, because it really faces reality of non-existence. And if you think about it, walk out some pitch black night and tell me how much of a shadow you cast. You don't. You're gone. God speaks and something becomes everything, and God can speak and something can become nothing. That's why he uses the terminology blotted out. Or as it's written in the 10th chapter of Matthew, fear not those that can destroy your flesh body, but fear he who can destroy your flesh and can cause your soul to perish. So that means to not exist, to not be able to cast a shadow, to not even be. You know, when you give up eternal life, you give up the opportunity to have happiness forever. And what do you trade it for? Wickedness. What is the switch off? What would make, how could a man think wisely and have any problem with that equation in life without choosing the right path? You either want God's blessings or you don't. Period. Verse 15, to continue. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun, walking in the flesh body, than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him for his labor, the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Now, it's important that you not read over that. He gives him what? He gives it to him when he walks under the sun. In other words, God wants you to be happy. The Spirit of God wants to give you joy if you'll partake of it. And when God gives you the sun and food and drink, And allows you to be merry. Well, what is this being merry? Well, what does a man's face look like that has true wisdom? It shines. It's not gloomy. And the harshness of the being washes away. And you have a true servant of the living God that walks and understands. Now, what God gives you, enjoy. Do it his way and be blessed for the eternity. It is a precious thing to have God's hand upon you. It is a precious thing to have the gifts God gives us. And one of the most important things that you can have is to be merry, which simply means that his labor, that all the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. If God gives it to you, that's the catch. You understand? Underline it in your mind. If God gives it to you, enjoy it. He's happy with you. Don't ever argue with that. A lot of people would. A lot of people say, I don't deserve that. Well, God thinks you do. When God gives it to you, enjoy it. Be happy with it. And be merry. You see, That's the mark of a wise person back from verse 1. We'll just read that verse 1 again. Who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. It's not gloomy. It's merry. And the boldness or the harshness of his face shall be changed. It's a changed person. And so it is. There's no gender in this. Even though the word man is used, Adam, it means male and female. And so it is that, again, what is the catch to all that verse we just completed? If God gives it to you, then wear it with enjoyment. That is what wisdom will do for you. It will bring you peace of mind. It will cause you to enjoy life. And you know, when you realize we're in this for the long haul, what happens here is not as important as some might affix something to it. Well, I would like to have been really rich before I passed away. Why? You can't take it with you. And if you didn't realize that if God has given you what you got, that makes you rich. Because it's from Him. And He wants you to enjoy it. So always enjoy life when God gives it to you. All right? Let's go with the next verse, verse 16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business, that's the travail, to see the travail that is done upon the earth. For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. That can be travail, all right. Travail, when you look at it, if you steep yourself into it, rather than what we covered in the verse prior to this, to enjoy the good things that God gives you, simple things, yes. Simple in the fact that anyone can possess it. Why? Because God gives it freely. And you are to enjoy life. Because you're going to cast a long shadow. You're going to live for an eternity. To you, there is no such thing as death, because death is swallowed up and has no sting. And God gives and expects His children to enjoy that. So don't ever, ever let someone take that away from you in the travail of this earth. You can look out there and you can see the travail, but use it as an education. A reminder, you don't want any part of it. Sidestep it. Stay away from it. And certainly, if you, you know, don't, this kind of falls under the old cliche, do not argue with Satan. So, as far as looking at the travail, don't chase it. Don't seek it. You don't want it. You want to enjoy what God gives you, for it stamps out, overrides, destroys the travail from your life. Why? Because it's filled with what God gives you. The very simple things in life that are so rich, that are so wholesome, that make life worth living. Because when your face shines from knowing truth, you're a blessing to everyone around you. That's the operation of the Holy Spirit in action. It's walking under the sun. It could be bad if you didn't realize the spirit body takes over and has that eternal life, cast a long shadow morning or night, or even in the darkness. Verse 17, to complete the chapter, then I beheld all the work of God. Think about that. that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And that would that leave you a little depressed after reading that? If it did, then you would have missed the whole chapter's teaching. You would just have passed over it. If you really, I mean, if you had learned no more, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. What is the lesson? The answer is simple. Without God's help, you can never find it. That's what he's teaching you in this chapter. You can search all you want to, but inasmuch as all wisdom comes from God, a wise man or woman or child has God in their life. And with God, all things are possible. Finding out all things is possible. That's why he wrote us the book. So what it's saying simply, you need his help to find the answer, to understand the world. Therefore, take his word and know all things are possible when you have his help. They're all possible with God. And as his servant, he will give you what you need. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. Talk about time and judgment. This is not the time that somebody walking under the sun should judge. But you do have what was promised in that same verse, discernment. Use it. That's what's very important. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? Don't need the number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Now, he does. He created you different than anyone else. You are unique. Your DNA is different. He wanted somebody just like you. But he wants you to love him and be blessed. He made it possible for you. All you have to do is walk in. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Robert from Tennessee. Is Christ coming back? Boy, is he coming back. It is, again, we were talking today about God for letting us know all things. That's what Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10 is about. The Old Testament declares there is a first and also a second advent. You find out that in the first advent, Zechariah 9, 9, that he comes in riding the foal of an ass never ridden before. That's an humble, one of the most humble animals there can be. But in verse 10, he comes in riding a white stallion, a man of war. He is returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule with a rod of iron. There'll be no putting off, no sentences extended. That's it. That's the time. You bet he's coming back, and he'll be happy to see those that love him. I would hate to be in the shoes of the rest. Larry from California, where in the Bible is the scripture that says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me? One of the most beautiful scriptures in God's Word, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. You can do it when he strengthens you, and he will strengthen you. He makes it possible for mere man to do many things in this life, whereby without him, it would not be possible. Linda from Florida. I was told that I don't have to like everyone, but I do have to love everyone. Can you please show me scripture on this? I'll be happy to. Have you ever read Romans 9 and Malachi chapter 1? Did God love Esau? I believe it says, and this is scripture, Esau I hated and Jacob I loved. Now, did Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness, tell Satan that he loved him? No, he said, get behind me. So, who's passing that stuff out? You don't love Satan. You don't love something that's evil. You separate yourself from it with God's help. So, it's a bunch of malarkey for somebody to, you know, it makes a walking mat out of Christianity. And it lets them change times and places. And I was real proud of one young man that they was told to write Jesus on a paper and stomp it. He refused. Now, that's a real Christian. And it's time Christians are going to have to stand up. We're approaching that time, and you don't want to be ashamed when Christ returns. But we're not ashamed of him. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't have to love Satan. It would be ignorant, absolutely the height of stupidity, for someone to tell you you had to love Satan when even God himself hated Esau. Okay, Michael, because of what he did. Michael from New York. Is Shepherd's Chapel an independent of any denominational church, or what are you affiliated with? We are affiliated with the Lord Jesus Christ and no other organization in the world, simply with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is called the Shepherd's Chapel, because it is his chapel. It is his teaching ministry that we try to follow. And we try to keep, you know, denomination means to divide. You can't, you either take God's word as a whole or you don't. And you must teach it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Why? It's Christ's word. Christ became the living word and it walked among us. John chapter 1. Question from Texas, Kim. Since Satan can imitate or act like Jesus, could he cause two people to act like the two witnesses to try to fool the elect? He could try it. It wouldn't help him, because we know exactly line on line what the elect are going to do. It's written. And if anyone made any little move, as Satan always does, he'll use scripture, but he twists it. And the first time they twisted it just one little bit, they would show up as frauds to God's elect. God's elect are, let me give you a little better proof. When Satan was cast from the abyss out onto the earth as the false Messiah, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, what order was he given by God? He said, you can go down there. You can't kill anybody. That's why when you think about they show all this blood and guts, that's wrong. He cannot. He does not have the authority to kill anyone. I'm quoting Revelation 9, verse 4. And he said, don't you dare touch mine anointed that have the seal of God in their forehead. He does not have that power. God shows us through, carries us through, and we cast a long shadow. John from Montana, thank you for your staff and all the work that we were so proud of our staff. We have a good one. My question is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. If Father Yahweh had or has no mother or father, there, why do you say Mary is the mother of God? I believe Mary is the mother of Jesus in the flesh body. Well, it's obvious to me that you don't know who Melchizedek is, though. Because you're inserting Yahweh for Melchizedek. And that won't work. Because Melchizedek was in this dimension. God never comes to this dimension. And Abraham even tithed to him. And in the very verse you're reading, chapter 7, verse 3 of Hebrews, does it not say he's as the Son of Man? Then where are you not connecting there? And I'm not talking down to you. I'm saying think about it, okay? Christ is the only begotten. He had to be begotten. Sandy from Oklahoma. In a previous lesson, when taking notes, I wrote political, educational, religious, religion, and economy, but I missed what they were. Anyway, on another lesson in Ecclesiastes, well, let's say what they were, okay? It comes from Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and it has to do with the four hidden dynasties. In other words, it's the horns symbolize power. On the very altar they place it, meaning Satan, as the spurious Messiah, will use those four entities, that is political, educational, and financial, and religion. Last but not least, religion. He works better in the field of religion than anywhere else. Okay. This would be Ewing from Illinois. Question, when we tithe to the Shepherd's Chapel, is this considered a righteous act to keep God's word flowing to our brothers and sisters in the world? Do we get credit for help bringing lost souls to God? Thank you. Of course you do. And I see you got Semper Five. And, you know, we do have an awesome staff. We appreciate them. But, you know, God treats all the family, the many-membered body, the same. And when you do tithe to this ministry, we don't beg. That's simply a thing that each person can do if they've been fed. And that carries the word all the way around. Television's very expensive. It truly is. And we're in a lot of stations, but it's good to have a place and a platform that God's word can go. And you are a part of it. Ron from West Virginia. First, I'd like to say I enjoy your teaching of the Bible. Well, thank you. I would like to know where in the Bible it says about those, there is two sides of heaven. I have looked about the gulf to good and the bad side before we are judged before our Father. I cannot find it. Well, open your Bible to Luke chapter 16 and you'll be right at home there. It's the parable of two actual men that walked the earth, the rich man and Lazarus. And this would be Pastor Murray. This would be Charlene from New Jersey. When Jesus returns to earth and we change into our spiritual bodies, is that after the hailstones fall on the people who have rejected Jesus to show them he means business and they die that way? Well, remember, when we have that change of bodies at Christ's return, all change into spiritual bodies. The good, the bad, the ugly. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, now, wait a minute. Are you saying they're going to heaven? That's not what I said. They're going into spiritual bodies in the same dimension that Almighty God is so that he can judge them. And if they've been ugly, if they've been bad, they're in a heap of hurt. So, but all are changed at the same time at the seventh trump. In that particular time segment of the seventh trump, many things happen in the seventh trump. But at that time change, all change, then nobody dies. Flesh dies. Flesh is changed. But no one dies until the great white throne judgment. Revelation chapter 20, the closing verses. Janice from Nevada. Pastor, what does the number 8, what is its meaning? 8 means new beginnings. And this is why 7 being spiritual completeness. And when we complete the 7 dispensations of time, there will be a new beginnings. And we can all look forward to that. That's the eternity. Doug from Indiana. Oh, thank you for your comment. Question, what was the Ark of the Covenant? The Bible comes alive with your teaching. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, you're very welcome. And God's Word does come alive. It does when you really concentrate on it. I want you to make a note of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. And you will find out what was in the Ark of the Covenant being what it was for. And I'm just going to let you take a little home assignment and do that on your own. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Lori from Illinois. Thank you for your comment. I'm trying to get down to your question. The Lord blessed me and I didn't... I'm going through the... let me see here. I'll start. Thank you guys at the chapel for teaching me the Word. I wish I knew of you guys sooner in my life. Not knowing the truth could hurt us. I'm going through the loss of my job, my home, and almost my life. The Lord blessed me, and I didn't keep his commandments. Now I'm suffering. I got too high and mighty, and the Lord straightened me out. I've since repented, but I'm embarrassed, fearful, and weak. Could you give me scripture to overcome these things? I sure can. And Laurel, it's good to have you with us. There's ups and there's downs. It's kind of better to be up than it is down, but you're a daughter of the living God. And whether you're up or down, he's going to see you through. Your scripture that documents that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will never place more on you than you can cut it. And he will always, always show you a way through. And you'll make it just fine. You hang tough. Question, this is Don from Florida. Could you explain again, where does that leave my... Let's see what we're talking about here. First of all, let me thank you for the word. I just found out that one of my parents was married before and never got a divorce before marrying. I remember you said Mamzars can't serve in God's temple. Where, could you explain again, where does that leave my six brothers and sisters? I'm 68 years old and did not remember anything that haunts me as much. Well, you're wasting your time, Don. I think you don't really know what a Mamzar is. Why don't you take your Strong's Concordance and check it out, and you'll find out that your brothers and sisters are just fine. The sin of a parent never wipes off on a child. Okay. So you're in good shape. Don't waste your time worrying. Love God. Maxine from Minnesota, thank you so much for teaching the Word of God. You're welcome. What book and verse will give comfort and forgiving for killing someone in war? Well, it's the soldier's prayer, basically. It's in the great book of Psalms 144. And sometimes I think it's time to read that again, because we have many people coming back from war, and it would seem that many ministries do not teach that protecting this great nation is a right that we have in this nation. But God approves of protecting a Christian sanctuary whereby we have the freedom to do what we do. You'll find it in Psalms 144. It reads, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." And that's the prayer. In other words, there's a big difference in murder and killing. Father has always had us war against factions that would take away our right to love him, to follow him, to follow his commandments. And certainly that's part of it. You know, when we broke the back in North Korea and Nam of communism, a lot of people snuffed at it. No, great job done by the vets of North Korea, but that fought in North Korea and in Nam, that broke the back of communism, no longer a superpower, but trying to be. But Ezekiel 38 and 39 will still be fulfilled. Okay, this would be... this is Morgan from Alabama. "Pastor Murray, my name is Morgan. I am 9 years old. What else do angels eat besides manna?" Well, it's the only thing listed in God's Word that's called angels' food. And we find that in the great book of Psalms. "Now, for flesh man, he added something to the angels' food. He added quail." Okay? But as far as we know, angels only need manna. And that is provided by God. He put these bodies together to keep them perfectly healthy. That's what you partake of. Rick from Florida, "I want to thank you and your son, Dennis, along with your staff, for bringing your Bible study into my heart. I have been studying with you about 6 months, and you have opened my eyes and my ears. Your deliverance has brought me closer to the Lord." Well, praise God. It's His Word that does that. "What is the best way for me to accept communion in my home? My home is my church, and I study the Word by watching you on TV." Well, on Passover, we'll be doing communion on television. So let us take it together. But if you're ever ill and need to take it yourself, you have the authority as a Christian to do that. And for healing or whatever the case may be. Okay, this would be Charlotte from California. "Thank you all that you do. You're welcome. I am 50 years old and have many medical issues and on SSD. How do I find someone to pray a prayer of healing for me. You just did. Father, we just ask that you heal this one and who feels she's alone, but let her know she's never alone, because you will never leave her, you will never forsake her. Heal her. Okay, and we got Tracy from New Hampshire. P.S., just wondering, do you have a service at your church beyond doing your Bible study broadcast? Sure. We every other Sunday, you always call the number, and they will give you the time that we have services. And they're usually in the third week of the month. They are usually broadcast. And we're out of time again. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He has sent to you, helping you walk under the sun and find contentment, to find happiness, and to find eternal life by listening to Him. You make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You can count on it. He loves His children. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Now, most important, though, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.